And join tonight with Dr. Vernon Nepi as we take your calls on Deja Vu right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we're going to take some of your calls this half hour with our special guest, Dr. Vernon Nepi, and also your very provocative questions about Deja Vu. But Vernon, tell us a little bit then about the books. How do you obtain them, and especially the trilogy?
This is, to me, something close to my heart. So I will tell you. First of all, you're not going to obtain them through big stores like Amazon or Barnes & Noble, because these are electronic books. I've deliberately written them as e-books because I want them to be on people's computers. They can click in it. They can read sections. They can research it by going on the PDFs. They go to brainvoyage.com, www.brainvoyage.com. Even better, they can go to the direct link, /Deja, D-E-J-A. So it's brain for cerebrum, B-R-A-I-N. And there they will find a wonderful offer, which I set up in commemoration of this Coast to Coast. We are busy launching this book at this moment. And in fact, I've given a little deduction component where if they put in the words Coast to Coast, one word, they will be able to get an even better offer. But the important thing is the trilogy is there. Deja Vu, A Second Look, Deja Vu Revisited, Deja Vu Glossary and Library, or people can buy them separately. Or incidentally, my other books like Cry the Beloved Mind, A Voyage of Hope, and even the rarity, The Psychology of Deja Vu, a rare book, a first book on the area of Deja Vu, which had a strange mischaracterization in terms of its spine and back cover, which makes it a collector's item. All of those are sitting on the site. So brainvoyage.com/deja, put in the code Coast to Coast, and you'll find that you'll get off 20% more.
Excellent. Let's go to the phones now. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Anthony in New York City.
Anthony, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you. I just can't believe the doctor describing temporal lobe seizures, which I have, and the deja vu that I get with it is just unbelievable. I could sit 10 minutes before the seizure and predict everything that's going to happen, and then 10 minutes later when the seizure comes, it sort of like wipes out, erases everything. It's just that I know I can see beforehand what's going to happen. But the after effect is exactly like you described. It exhausts you, sometimes a headache. I'll get maybe 3 seizures a day apart per month. I just can't believe that, it's exactly how he described. I had surgery for the left temporal lobe, and it did reduce the seizures, but they came back about 5 years later. I donal have a grand mal seizure. I have a seizure where I'll lose my right hand. If I'm standing, I may lose my balance with my right leg, and I lose my speech for about 5 minutes after the seizure. And during that time, during the seizure, I actually see people that are not there trying to talk to me. I don't know what that is. I'm going to try to relate that in the future, hopefully, to see if that is a deja vu, if that person in the future is standing in front of me and talking to me about the same sort of subject. But like I say, after the seizure, you sort of remember a lot less. I like to have the doctor's ideas of
okay.
What I'm going through.
Fair enough.
Thank you for that wonderful description, because it embodies what we call temporal lobe epileptic deja vu. You mentioned the fact that they operated on your temporal lobe, which means that probably the seizures derived from there or impinged upon it. And not everyone who has temporal lobe epilepsy have deja vu. It's got to hit the right area. And you also emphasize the fact that most people don't realize that when you have seizures, when you have epilepsy, you don't need to have these shaking attacks where you lose consciousness, what people call grand mal seizures or generalized tonic-clonic seizures. They just might be focal. In other words, what we call partial seizures. And if it hits the right area, boom, it sets up the deja vu. But you also described something so special, and that is, it sounds like it happens the same every time. In other words, we sometimes use the word aura, the warning that is coming along. It's almost like there's a march inside your brain. This fires, it causes a little bit of firing in B, which goes to C, which goes to D.
Exactly.
And within it is this strange person you see. Now, strangely enough, in one of my books, I describe deja vu of a hallucination, which is what you're describing here. You see this person, you know the person doesn't exist, but you're having a visual hallucination because it's probably hitting that area of the brain that is associated with that stereotype. Now, it might be that there's something mystical here. There is a correlation, incidentally, between people apparently with these complex partial seizures and others in the family having subjective paranormal experiences or psychic experiences. In fact, one of my areas of research has shown how the temporal lobe of the brain is intimately involved with these subjective paranormal experiences. Doesn't mean to say they're not real. Doesn't mean to say they are real. That's the area of the brain. There has to be one area of the brain that has to be involved, and that is a major area of the brain that's involved. So you describe the stereotypical component, in other words, the consistency of the experience, and then afterwards, the sense of headache or sleepiness or confusion or disorientation and the utter fatigue and sometimes the nausea that goes with it. We call these post-ictal features or post-seizure features.
If I could pass one more comment, I'll say that when I'm alone, and let's say I'm relaxed in the lounge chair watching TV, I could actually enjoy a seizure. It is an unbelievable experience. I mean, some people may think I'm crazy, but it is a feeling that I've never had drugs, but I could imagine, you know, what I've heard, the description of, you know, high-powered drugs like LSD and all of that. It is an unbelievable experience that when I'm alone, I don't mind. But if I'm in public, I get a 10-minute warning, I know, to get up and go to the bathroom or go outside to, you know, a car or outside and sitting on a park bench if I'm in a restaurant. I don't know what your idea of that is, if you have that same sort of feeling with other people.
Yes. You know, sometimes people think seizures are all for the bad, and certainly they're not to be recommended in any way. But there are people who experience positives with their seizures. In other words, if it goes through the right area of the brain, it can make them intensely euphoric. They even are, and this sounds very funny, but it's a rare phenomenon that does occur. There's what's called orgasmolepsy.
What's that?
Patients have firing in a particular area of the brain, and they actually have orgasm. And very often they can't have an orgasm any other way. And I've had patients saying, "Doctor, don't take away all my seizures. I enjoy that."
And I just get stuck with regular deja vu.
That's true. But that orgasmolepsy, of course, has nothing to do with deja vu. The closest we get is a phenomenon that was described very early on. It was called deja vulu. It's one kind of deja experience, and it's described as the already desired experience.
How do you think the ancients described deja vu? Surely they had it, right?
Yeah, they did have it. In fact, we find going back in time descriptions relating to Ovid, the famous Latin writer describing déjà vu. We find descriptions of, in history, Pythagoras. Well, he claims that Pythagoras described this, Ovid does. We find St. Augustine describing the sensation and feeling that this was due to the influence of deceitful and malignant spirits. So the ancients certainly did. And then one can go 1,500 years later, and one can go to Sir Walter Scott in his novel Guy Mannering, or you can go to the great English romantic poet Percy Bysshe Shelley describing this linked up with the dream state. And a famous one came in 1850 from Charles Dickens in David Copperfield. We have all some experience of a feeling that comes over us occasionally of what we are saying and doing, having been said and done before in a remote time, of our having been surrounded dim ages ago by the same faces, objects, and circumstances, of our knowing perfectly what will be said next, as if we suddenly remembered it. Beautiful literary descriptions all the way through, not fully understanding it, but certainly describing it. It's there going back 2,000 years, and they're going back a century and a half.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with Dr. Vernon Nepi. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Georgia from Corona, California.
Hey, Georgia.
Wonderful show this evening. Thank you. I would like to possibly propose another explanation for déjà vu.
All right.
In Eastern wisdom, they propose the existence of a subtle electrical body that underlies the physical, of which the acupuncture system and the chakra system are two examples. The Hindus call these lines of light that compose this electrical body nadis, and the nadis superimpose the physical nerves and brain. Perhaps, under certain circumstances, consciously through meditation or psychic experience or even malfunction or anomalies of the brain, perhaps the consciousness shifts its perception into this subtle body. We know that disease, for instance, appears in this subtle body before it shows up in the physical dense body. Perhaps in this shift, people experience, and then a few seconds later, when that experience actually is landed or processed through the brain, it's familiar because they actually experienced it a few seconds before on a more subtle or perhaps quantum level.
What a wonderful thought, Georgia. And, you know, sometimes one proposes something and the original thinking one should get all the credit for, and I give you all the credit for this here, but strangely enough, in my book, Déjà Vu, A Second Look, I have included a very, very short chapter, it's barely a page, by a psychiatrist from South Africa, a great mystic, a great thinker, named Dr. Barend Loubser. And I included this posthumously. He had written this, but I thought this was so useful. And he effectively proposed what you are proposing, the idea of the infinitesimal lag, but not a lag between two hemispheres, a lag between the etheric body and the real body, what he called the bioplasmic body and the physical body. So you've come up with a wonderful idea. Of course, non-mystics would say, no such thing exists, this is all humbug. But there are a few things that I've learnt in this world, and one of the aspects that I've learnt is because we don't understand it, doesn't mean to say that something does not exist. We ought to go forward and try to learn more and look at it with an open mind. Thank you so much, Georgia, for your excellent description of this shift between the etheric or bioplasmic body, if one could hypothesize it exists, and maybe the brain or the real physical body.
Vernon, why is it so sporadic, though? Why does it come in these kinds of spurts? In my particular case, maybe months in between.
And in other particular cases, every day. So, you know, everyone is different, and one could argue here that maybe it's fulfilling some kind of need. It is fulfilling some kind of meaning. It might be the same aspect that is sporadic in terms of people having some kind of subjective paranormal experience, what they will regard as a psychic experience. They don't have it every day, and then suddenly they have this dream that comes true. Or they have this awareness that the phone that is ringing is their friend who they haven't seen or heard from for 35 years. And indeed it is. Why does that happen sporadically? Probably a similar explanation. But throw in this instance, the seizures and the temporal lobe epilepsy, and maybe the little bit of relief of anxiety in the average person. And maybe there are phases of greater levels of anxiety.
So what do you do next? What's on your plate after all of this?
What do I do next?
Yeah.
In relation to deja vu?
Yeah, or unless you're working on some top secret project you want to disclose.
Oh, I'm working on many, many different projects, but I'm afraid none of them are top secret. Let's look at it this way. When I'm talking about deja vu, I'm talking about something even more special. I'm talking about an approach in analyzing any kind of phenomenon in great detail. It could be deja vu. It could be hallucinations of smell, olfactory hallucinations. In fact, one aspect of my research was showing how these hallucinations of smell also are qualitatively distinct in different subpopulations. For example, psychics. This is a secret. I shouldn't be telling people this because I find it very, very useful to ask people these questions, but I will. Psychics, or people who claim to be psychic, they have subjective paranormal experiences, will very often report a flowery, pleasant, perfumey kind of smell, as opposed to patients with temporal lobe epilepsy who might be reporting this burning, rubbery, foul, fecal odor. These are differences. And the application of phenomenology at a broader level, instead of just deja vu, looking at other distinct features, including psychic experiences, is a wonderful extension.
You stay with us, Doctor. We're going to wrap up. We're going to take final phone calls. Boy, you're a great guest. I'll be back in a moment. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, our special guest will be Patrick Caron as we talk about the Nephilim and some of those creatures that may be wandering around the universe, so make sure you're part of the program. Then Friday, I zoom off to our affiliate in Seattle, the number one rated station there for us, KVI. We'll do the Friday the 13th show there, a little quick blip from Dr. Morgus, who's got his television show back on in New Orleans, and then a special guest the first hour, and then our Friday the 13th open lines, and then Saturday the book signing. Speaking of book signings, Thursday in Pasadena at the Borders Bookstore starts from 5 to 7 p.m., and then Saturday in Seattle at Third Place Books at Lake Forest Park, Washington. That starts at 6:30. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, our special guest, Dr. Vernon Nepi, and of course, your phone calls. Dr. Anthony Peake and others have described you as the world authority on this specific topic, deja vu. What makes you the leader in this area? Why you?
Well, one can come along and debate this. I'm sure that others would perceive themselves that way, and it's not for me to regard me as an expert, but it is good that some of my colleagues do perceive me that way. I'll tell you why they perceive me that way. Firstly, I was the first person to demonstrate that we were not dealing with a single phenomenon, that in fact, scientifically, one could show that we have at least four different qualitative kinds of deja vu, and there may be others. And I discussed how I demonstrated this by looking in great, great detail at the phenomena itself along many, many different dimensions. And I was lucky enough to find that the four different groups, temporal lobe epilepsy, psychotics, subjective paranormal experience, and associative deja vu in normal people were distributed in entirely different places. I also was the first to say, listen, we have to define out this phenomenon in detail. And I developed a definition that looked at the whole literature from before, such that people could scientifically use this definition. And my colleagues have, almost repetitively, when deja vu is defined, it's defined according to the definition that I proposed. In addition, I realized that the literature was too small in relation to looking at just one or two different kinds of deja experience. When I came on the scene, there were effectively only 11 different deja terms, like already done, already heard. We call that déjà fait or déjà entendu, or already thought, déjà pensé.
French, and always, of course.
Always French, and I had to work with a professor of French to develop some more of these terms. Then in 1981, I suggested 10 more terms, not because I wanted to suggest them, but based on the literature of what people were describing. And recently, this year, in my book, Deja Vu, A Second Look, I describe 6 more terms, possibly the most exciting of the lot, like the already paradoxical experience that sometimes we see in patients with seizure disorders, or this already after experience, postictally, after the seizure, the déjà après, or the esoteric experience, déjà esoterique, which sometimes is linked up with some psychotic thinking as well. And then just as one goes forward in time, I described déjà pressenti, moving forward in time. I described déjà rétrosenti. Already on the show, we had an example of déjà halluciné, the already hallucinated experience. And every sensation had been described except the already touched experience. So I described déjà touché. And so these are the kinds of approaches, the idea of phenomenology, the idea of defining this in detail, expanding the different kinds of déjà experience, and moreover, realizing that you can apply the same techniques to completely different phenomena, to, for example, psychic phenomena or temporal lobe phenomena for that matter, I think has been a significant breakthrough in terms of thinking. And also the fact that one doesn't reject explanations. You say, could it be due to reincarnation?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those who says, oh, no, it's purely in the brain. Just stop being ridiculous. All I can say is there's more between heaven and earth than we fully understand. And, yes, let's look at the data and try and understand it more. But there may be simpler explanations.
To the phones we go. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, this is Bill Moore from Westlake Village,
hey, Bill.
California.
Sure thing.
Thank you for taking my call. Fascinating program. And I want to thank you for having this and for and having the doctor on. I'd like you to, if the doctor, if he could reconcile, if possible, three different phenomena. He may have already done so in general terms. I've had three different types of experiences, one of which is the most fascinating. When I was a law student many years ago, I had a dream about living in a place where there was no backyard, but there were boats in my backyard, which made absolutely no sense to me. And then once I graduated from law school and went to work for a law firm in Ventura County, I'm calling from Westlake Village, California, I was enticed to move up to their one of their major clients' apartment complexes, which happens to be the Channel Islands Harbor, if you're familiar with that, George.
Yes,
little
sure
north
am.
Of LA. And the first night I walked out of my little apartment, I walked around the corner and I went, lo and behold, there's no lawn. There's all these boats in my backyard, just like the dream. I walked down the dock and there and behold is a fishing boat, I mean a commercial fishing boat, with the same name as in the dream. I instantly realized I'd had what I consider to be a deja vu experience, realizing I'd had this before, not instantly before, but some time before as in a dream. And for the doctor, please just expose, or if you can reconcile that with another experience where I've had where I have said, whatever you do, this is when I was a young boy, whatever you do, don't laugh at this person's joke and fall on your bicycle, which is exactly what I did. And you can imagine the embarrassment in the emergency room where the doctors are asking those embarrassing child abuse type questions about, well, how did you get this impaling wound in your buttock from a bicycle? And thirdly, I have this all the time now. I haven't had this same experiences as these other two, but quickly, just I can tell by the way the telephone is ringing who it is that's calling, above and beyond the fact that you may be expecting, oh, John to be calling you because it's now 4:30 and he hasn't returned his call all day. But I can tell who it is just by a subtle energy or electricity in the air who is calling. And I was wondering if the doctor can explain or reconcile those two or three types of experiences as deja vu or premonitions.
All right, take it away, doctor.
You ask a complex series of questions, some related, some not so related, which makes it a little difficult because I cannot give one explanation. First of all, if you are having experiences where the phone rings and you know who is on the phone, that is contemporaneous. It could well be that one would study this to see, is this contemporaneous extrasensory perception? It has nothing, of course, to do with deja vu. Your laugh experience where you fell off the bike has added complexities. There could be psychological components, there could be a sense of anxiety, there could be the anticipation, there could be the self-fulfilling prophecy. On the other hand, some would say, well, you know, I predicted the future. I would like that future to be predicted outside yourself so that you cannot control it and add to this your self-fulfilling prophecies. Your dreams of living boats or of living with boats in the backyard is interesting in terms of the fact that how much of that could you or could you not control? And it sounds to me as if you have repetitive subjective paranormal experiences and also some kind of contemporaneous experiences of the kind that people sometimes refer to as extrasensory perception. Again, I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but this is the way you've portrayed it. I haven't heard in detail specifically, and I'm sure there are examples because you had to be brief, of your deja vu. I would bet you, however, that if you have deja vu, it would be of the subjective paranormal kind. In other words, with the shifts in terms of time forwards, deja prosenti, or backwards, deja retrosenti, with an intense awareness of that little time shift. Sometimes it's just a few seconds forward. Sometimes backwards, it might be a sense of centuries ago.
Okay, thanks for that response. Let's go to East of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
I'm Thomas. I'm a truck driver in Arkansas, listening on XM.
Hi, Thomas.
Doctor, great show. I'd like to get your response to an idea I've had for quite a long time about deja vu being connected with maybe the switching in the brain between long and short-term memory, as if when you immediately witness an event, somehow there is a way that the sight of the event unusually enters into the long-term memory and is played back to you in a way that you recognize it as something that did happen a long time in the past, but it's just a like the garden variety of deja vu.
Yes. So you are asking about effectively the memory link-ups of deja vu, and you're putting a little twist in it in terms of immediate or recent kinds of memories that have happened and are happening in the past few seconds during the time of the deja vu, and shifting all the way back in terms of long-term, remote kinds of memories. I'm not sure if I fully conceive of the idea, but it certainly fits this significant body of evidence that is accumulating, and some good work is being done on memory, for example, Dr. Alan Brown in relation to memory and deja vu, where there are certainly links in terms of having forgotten in the past something, and suddenly something comes up, and one can experimentally test memories in the present by exposing people to all sorts of different kinds of quick memory phenomena, or little pictures of one kind, some familiar, some not so familiar, and then retesting and seeing how many of these evoke the sense of, I've seen this before, but I know not where or when.
Okay, let's go to another caller. Wildcard Line, it's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi there. This is Sandra in Ohio.
Sure.
I'm hoping the doctor can explain a series of odd episodes I had about 3 years ago. In the past, you know, since I was a child, I would have the typical momentary deja vu experiences. But about 3 years ago, now I work as a professional psychic and a medium. And about 3 years ago, I was doing a series of readings for people who would just walk into a store. I would only have their first names. And occasionally, some of these people would come back a few months later for a follow-up type of reading. And I also need to say that when I read psychically, I can feel that I'm accessing a certain part of my brain, something in a certain part of my head. When I read as a medium, I feel activity in a different part. All right. So I had several experiences where someone would walk in and I would recognize them. They were dressed differently than the last time I remembered seeing them. And I would remember seeing them before, what we had discussed, even certain bits of the reading that I had done for them and what they had asked about. So they'd come and sit down and I'd say, oh, it's nice to see you again. And they'd swear they had never seen me before. And in a few cases, they swore that they had never, ever had a psychic reading from anyone ever in their lives. And yet, I would do a half-hour reading, and here's the thing. I would do it from memory. I could tell I wasn't doing a psychic reading or a mediumship reading. We would just have a very similar, not identical, but similar conversation on the same topics that I remembered reading them on before. And I'd stop maybe twice in the half hour and say, are you sure we haven't done this before? Are you sure we haven't met? And so I can tell you, I felt I was accessing a different part of my brain, and it was strictly from memory.
What a wonderful description, Sandra. You almost are inventing a new deja experience to add to our multitude the already remembered experience, and you have the sense that you remembered it, and you described it so graphically, I was going to say, so you have a good memory. And then you said, but they never come to see you before. And suddenly there's an extra throw in here.
wonderful description. And, of course, you accentuated the fact, you didn't go into detail, that the deja vu that you often have is of the subjective paranormal variety. Thank you for sharing that, and I'd love you to send me more details about this experience, because it's relatively unique.
Fascinating topic. Of all the areas we discussed tonight, Vernon, and the four specific types of deja vu, for some reason, I always seem to grasp on to the paranormal portion of it. I don't know why, but I do. What do you think?
I think it's very reasonable, and I think that this certainly is a very important subtype. And to me, it's maybe the most fascinating of those four subtypes, although the temporal lobe one sometimes can achieve a complexity that is unrivaled.
I think so. Vernon, thanks for being on the program. Good luck with all the books. We'll get you back again, okay?
Thank you so much.
His name is Vernon Nepi, doctor, PhD type as well, and medical doctor. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.